drinking beer.
Ah, you dickheads.
Welcome to episode 46 of Double Dodge, this one we're calling 10 Timmies Worth of Pain. Yes, 10 Timmies. It's the scale, and only one man can reach the top of it. Needless to say, we get three-time WTC winning player, our good mate Timmy. We roll out of German. It's fantastic. We have a bit of a chat about meta, WTC, how not to get three strikes when applying for the German national teams. And then partway in, my good partner in crime decides to pop in. He was otherwise occupied, but jumps in and it makes for an even better chat. So you just wait for that moment. It's quite exciting. So, yeah, I think we start the Wang Machine, get on in there. There's no point in fucking around. Let's chat to the man himself.
Do you like Germans? Of course you do. They've got loads of them. They're like kept in a box or something. I don't know. It's a bit weird.
So on the line, I've got a man who likes to pillage countries that produce chocolate and beer. He loves to have fun in an elevator, and basically there's no intro that suits this man other than the Gilboa community knows him as Timmy. Timmy, how are you doing, mate?
Oh, pretty okay. I'm pretty okay.
I hear that you're actually dying from a genuine flu, mate.
Yeah. The worst part is over, I guess, but still at home recovering.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good. I mean, like, I'd come to your funeral if you die. I hope you don't die, like, but I would be there.
I'm doing good, I guess.
Nice. So straight off the bat, you've come from WTC. There was a lot of predictions going around as to who was going to win it. Scotland won with an Englishman in their team. Thought they were good. The Americans thought they were okay, but the Germans just wrapped it up three in a row. Mate, how do you guys do this?
I don't have a fucking clue. I guess we're lucky in the right moments. But yeah, I think we're overall like okay players. We can beat the good teams, but the good teams can beat us as well. So yeah, it comes down to luck, I guess, in these kind of events.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dice game, right? But still, the consistency of you guys winning three times speaks for itself.
Yeah, I still don't get it. I don't know.
So there's no, like, crazy, strange, like, German formula that you guys have? You haven't got, like, a bunker somewhere where you're, like, formulating how you're going to dissect the international meta each year?
No. Actually, we didn't even do like pairings beforehand, or our guild picks were basically like everyone picked whatever he liked at this moment, and yeah, I don't know.
That's it. So so you in the pairing, talk me through the pairing process. So you get put up against a team, and what happens at this point?
Yeah, basically I'm going to have a cigarette at this point because it's a good chance, I guess. But yeah, Mats is doing the pairings. This year we're like looking for a good table for our fisherman player. Because actually Corsair is a thing if you have like no obstacles or obstructions to hide behind. So we're actually just looking for a good Corsair table, and that's it.
That's it. You just sit back, let Mets do all the work, and you go over smoke. That's the German strategy. Yeah. Okay, fair. I mean, I guess, does that point to the fact that, like, the game's relatively balanced, that you don't feel that there are too many kind of matchups that are imbalanced such that you will rely on player skill?
The thing is, I guess, playing Alchemist this year, I still have the option to play pretty aggressively. And at this point, it's basically my opponent's game to lose, I guess, because I'm playing. If I don't really have a good plan, I'm I would go for like tempo plays because, yeah, people mess up, people do mistakes, and if you're doing a mistake while I'm pressuring you in your own deployment zone, I'm going to get a goal or something like this from it. And yeah, if I have no idea, I just straight up pressure them, I guess, and yeah, and then see from there on
and play what's happening. Play on skill. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So does Metz play like that? Like, is, I mean, from the outside, he seems to be very methodical.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is. Yeah. I think he was like, actually, can I play this game or this matchup? I don't know. I could play Honor. And that was basically his answer for every single matchup. So I think he actually knows what he's doing. So he doesn't have to fall back on like tempo plans or something like this. He knows his matchups.
Yeah, okay.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, I hear he's pretty good. I hear he's close to being a robot. Did he actually turn up on time this time, or did you guys have to literally wait till like 10 minutes before like round one for him to arrive? Because I remember that happened last year.
Actually, Metz woke me up with the words, "You have 10 minutes left."
That doesn't sound...
So actually, me and Mario turned up like on point. Like the second the round started, we entered the room. Those pretty hangover, I guess. But you get used to stuff like this at a certain point.
I know. I mean, you're doing nothing just to dispel the rumor or the myth or legend even of yourself and your ability to basically be the drunken master. I think it's almost like a branding thing for you, right? Like people expect it. Do you feel like you've got to play up to that and literally just get smashed the night before?
No, but I'm actually nearly only drinking on tournaments because I don't know they're the right people over there to have a drink, and I don't think I care too much about being like seriously prepared for a tournament or something like this. I don't care. I know people that go to bed like at 10 p.m. because on the next day they have to play around or something like this. I don't actually care.
No. To be fair, the Australians definitely don't do that. And we were sad we weren't there to kind of hold your hand into the early hours of the morning.
The thing is, they're like basically all the cool guys from all over the world. And you got to use like every second you have with them, I guess, till the early morning hours.
Yeah.
Would have been a waste otherwise, I guess.
Yeah, Poland last year was the most surreal experience of my life. Like we flew in, landed on the Friday, late Friday, had beers with everyone, then played Saturday, Sunday, flew out Monday morning, and it was just like the most whirlwind time. Like, and you're talking 26, 27 hours of travel to get over and back. Like, I didn't know where I was, but you're absolutely right. Like, you got to spend time with these guys that you've chatted to, and you didn't kind of want to waste it just sleeping.
Yeah. At least that's my view.
No, fair. I mean, you guys don't have to travel as far, so, you know.
Yeah. We were there in about, like, 8 hours drive or something like this.
Ah, 8 hours. That's a short drive in Australia, mate.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. No, like it's 9.5 to probably 9 to Melbourne from Adelaide where we are. And yeah, that's the closest capital city. I actually flew last weekend to see my sister in Perth, 3-hour flight. Like I'm sure you've probably covered most of Europe in that time.
Yeah, most of it.
So WTC rocks around. Pairing process. Timmy's out having a smoke. Round one. Do you actually remember who you played against? Like in terms of the country?
Yeah, USA. USA.
Ah,
To be fair, I can't say a lot about the game because I actually don't remember everything, but I still remember that I got pretty lucky with an aggressive Midas, I guess. So it was like basically the tempo gameplay we were talking about.
Yeah.
I was playing against Masons, and I most likely should have played Smoke, but I was actually only really prepped with Midas because I had like in my preparation for WTC played like about 2 or 3 games with Smoke at this point, I guess, and I felt like way better prepared with Midas.
Yeah, I mean he's in a very good spot. He's kind of back to his original best, I think.
Yeah, he's really, really good. Really, really good.
Mm. So, I mean, when you say lucky goal or lucky kind of activation, I feel like he can mitigate a lot of luck with out of activation, but, you know, he can purchase moves, he can jump back in. There's a lot of stuff he can do. Fulmination's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a really opportunistic captain, I guess. So you could like if they give you an opening at a certain point, you might get a goal from like really weird angles, I guess. I really like Midas. He's super cool.
Yeah.
And Lure of Gold is like absolutely bonkers.
Oh, it's fucking money, isn't it? Well, now that Vetcat's like just a powerhouse, it's even more money.
Yeah,
absolutely. So we probably should talk about, because I'm pretty sure you only played 6 models the whole time, or maybe 7. Your lineup, which I know, but what was it?
I played the whole 12 or the models I played?
No, just the models you played, Tim. No one cares about the other shit.
Midas, Flask, Veteran Catalyst, Kami, Crucible, Vitriol. Yeah, there you go. Should be 6.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And you played the 6 the whole time?
Yeah. I feel like it's a really flexible lineup.
It's pretty solid and pretty rounded, isn't it?
Yeah. It just feels good. And yeah, I played with this like most of my Alchemist game in preparation for WTC, which were about like 4 tournament games and 11 games against farmers or something like this. That's it. So they're really, really good, to be fair. I think people didn't recognize how good they were beforehand.
No. I think, well, old Midas players probably do. And I mean, that's where my original love is. And we kind of realized how, like, he basically got back to where he was, not season one, but kind of that season three sweet spot. And the ability to just, play that super solo, goal scoring, snag stuff from anywhere. And then the lure of gold with Vetcat where he's at. It's just, it's so versatile. What I found, like I'd be playing Cammy on and off. And Cammy's ability, like her plus Crucible, you have that real threat of you can't hold the ball and you can't leave a free ball. And it really messes with the opponent and then just adds to the pressure that Midas puts on.
Yeah, Cammy for me is like basically a backup. So she just lurks the field at a certain point where she could be important, but the main work is basically Midas and Veteran Catalyst are doing the main work. Vitriol and Crucible get like goals if they can, and Kami's waiting for the right moment, I guess.
Yeah. Do you find...
She got her moments, so it's not like she wasn't good at all. She was actually really, really good in some of the games. So the threat of killing the ball is so, so crazy good. I really liked... I basically, the last game I played was basically won by my kickoff, I guess, because I got, like, the perfect kickoff against Union. He couldn't recover the ball, but I was able to kill the ball with Kami in the first activation. So I didn't do this because he had to run a Decimate and second Winter herself to pick up the ball, but she was still in range of Midas after this. So the kickoff was basically nuts. It was like crazy.
Like straight along the line into the corner.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, with Kami on the side. So this is like really fucking threatening for them, because Kami can recover this ball without being out of position at all, and that's so much tempo you couldn't recover from it, I guess.
Yeah. And I think there's huge value in the fact that you're going, you know, because you're kicking off, you get the last activation as well. So you can set up a situation where you can top and tail, you know, two goals or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Mm.
Or just smash stuff with Bad Cat, so...
I mean, Lure Gold's kind of okay. Like, you know, what...
Yeah, what's... you can learn, like, several times in the play, like, to every single fucking model you like. So if they aren't able to kill you in a single activation, you will, like, apply a veteran catalyst to something.
Yeah.
And stop.
Yeah. No, he threats their line, doesn't he? He's like an 8 charge. You can lure him 6, effectively. And then he's got a 2-inch melee. 18.
You can lure him 18, effectively. Or not 18, but close to 18.
Yeah. He's basically can threat the deployment line. So if you can gear it up, you can basically put him into them and then top and tail him. He generally kills a lot of models.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had a game locally against one of our locals. He's a champ, Alex, and he ran Brewers, and he hadn't ran them for ages. And it was like the first game I played Vet Cat, and Vet Cat threw Tough Hide. Just eats them, absolutely eats them with such low defensive stats.
Yeah,
it gets deep in the playbook, and it's absolute money at that point because of the fact that it's condition damage.
Yep, it's really good.
He's okay. So Timmy, I mean, we'll get back to the WTC, but I hear you off Alchemists after all this beautiful Alchemist Midas talk.
Yeah, for now at least.
Like you've just solved them with the 6, and now you're just moving on.
I don't know. I was thinking about going back to minors, like minor guilds.
Yeah.
Because they're so underplayed.
In particular, which ones?
Everything except miners and church, I guess.
Oh, come on. Why not miners?
They're really good. But I have the feeling that several players are going to pick up miners in the next weeks, or already did. So several, like, highly competitive players.
German ones or just, in like, international?
International.
I mean,
at least the English guys are doing so.
I was just going to say, can you name these people for me?
Oh. I mean, David Cameron is playing them right now. I know that now he's an English guy, Fraser.
Yeah, okay. Fraser's on them.
And like a couple of guys. Steve Easton is playing them as well, if I'm not mistaken.
My God.
So there are like a lot of top-tier players.
This makes me sick.
Yeah, me too. they're really, really crazy good.
So what do you want to play? Are the minor guilds? You obviously not church or miners. What's your call? What do you reckon you're going to play next?
I'm most likely Falconeers and Rat Catchers.
Nice, yeah. Rats are super solid. I think the buff they got in the last errata, you know, Scourge being able to kick for free or kick two for free is pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I dropped them after a really, really, really depressing game against Steeljaw, where I was like, okay, I don't have a fucking clue how to do this. He was basically placing traps where I could have pushed him. And it was a mess. It was a real mess. I didn't have a clue how to do this, and I was like, okay, I'm done with this right now. Going to something else. I don't even know what I played. I think I actually picked up Steeljaw then. But yeah.
I think
I might be dead.
Anything with conditions is going to be challenging into them just because of the disease mechanic. So you're going to suffer at that point.
Well, it's okay, but having all these tokens on the pitch as well, where you cannot push them, and which like actually slowing themselves as well is disgusting. It doesn't make any sense. It's like all your abilities are worse at a certain point, and I was really frustrated at this point.
Okay, so rats bad into hunters. Okay, I mean that's good for the hunters players, but most of them have moved on because I don't know, hunters just don't play the same kind of tempo game that the meta is desiring at the moment.
I don't know, Steeljaw seems to be in a good spot as well, so hunters are pretty good.
Our hunters have always been pretty good. And this is a feeling from the Australian meta or what we've kind of played, is the game's obviously sped up. It's very much a tempo kind of game at the moment. And Hunter, you know, you require a few, like, decent scoring models. And whilst Hunters kind of have a couple, they still struggle in that. So the control kind of denial game is slightly less. And so we're finding, at least where we are, that, you know, your alchemist, your engineers, like hard-scoring kind of fish sides will put a tempo on them that they can't actually deal with.
I don't know if I agree.
No, you don't have to agree. That's just fine.
I was actually mainly prepping hunters for WTC. Like, basically till they announced that Kami is getting released before the WTC. And I did pretty well with Steeljaw, but I had to admit that Alchemist looked way more fun than they do. So I switched to Alchemists.
So what was it about Cammy that turned, like, pushed you over?
Just read her card. That's so much jank and so many options. You might not use them, like, all the time or not even often, but you have the possibility to do so. Mm. And that gets me really interested, because you have so many options, and just playing her or optimizing her is so interesting. And that's basically it. I really enjoyed the model design, I guess, and or the intended playstyle design. I was a fan instantly.
Yeah, she nails it. Like, in terms of what you felt like she was going to play like, she pretty much nails that kind of play style.
Yeah, absolutely. She's like, for me, a backup striker utility piece.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the newer models, did you come up against many of the other ones in W2C? Like, you know, your Nomads, like, who else? What other kind of models did you see consistently? Obviously, Knuckles is fucking baller.
Yeah, he is. Let me think about this. First round against Masons, no champ. Second round, the Alchemist's Mirror. I don't think he played Kami. The third round was use A2 against Masons, still no champ. Fourth round was against Brewers, Michael
Kumba.
I might actually have butchered his name right now, but I don't know. no, Flea, fifth round against Brewers, still no Flea. And then against Union. I didn't play the single new rookie, I guess, at the whole WTC. Right.
Did you see any, though, on other tables? Like when you.
Yeah, absolutely. You, yeah. Like a lot of them.
Yeah, so Nomad, Cammy, who else?
Yeah, Knuckles.
Yeah.
Like, I think all of the fishermen got Knuckles.
Yeah, Knuckles is almost auto include, isn't he? Like, he's that good.
Yeah, he's really, really good. I mean, Mets had Champ in his 12 as well, but yeah, he turned out playing like 7 models or something like this, and only Honor.
Yeah, I mean, we can't possibly understand how Mets's brain works.
No. I don't even try.
No, fair.
Yeah, I guess there are several which get picked like every single time, and then there are like a couple of others that are situational, and then there are some of them which people don't really like, I guess.
Yeah. There's a definite gap there, right? Like, I mean, Champ, Flea, there's a few of them that it's not necessarily that model in particular, but the fact that the rest of the guild have a whole bunch of models that you would, you know, it's the opportunity cost, the whole bunch of models you would take over them. And that's the issue.
The thing is, what I think is funny is that the butcher players are actually just, they're voting for a striker and then they get a striker and they don't care. That's, I don't get the point.
They don't know what they want.
I don't know.
They get cinnamon as like a crossover model. Like, fucking, how much more do you want?
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, like, butchers had, you could always play this kind of threat extension or, you know, positioning game with them where there's only a finite amount of distance they could actually get, and you could just sit off them. And then, yeah, Cinnamon busts that. And obviously there's a few other kind of models that now help that out. And, yeah, they want a striker. I mean, don't need a fucking striker. Like, you've got one. That's all you need. Like, just kill the shit out of everything else and score some goals.
I still think Lane is cool. I don't play Butchers at all. So, like, not on a regular basis. But he might have some use. But, yeah, I think people are playing Butchers for killing stuff, not for scoring sick goals.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think Lane's got a place, but once again, it's that opportunity cost. It's like, what else could I take? And when you've got, you know, 4 models you can pick from for the squaddies, like, it's pretty hard to not take, you know, your shank, a brisket, a meat hook, or there's so many other cinnamon, yeah. Lane struggles. Vet ox, yeah, absolutely.
There are a couple of good squaddies in this team.
I reckon now that Vet Boar's kind of taken a little bit of a hit, I think Fillet's got some play too. I think there's some pretty cool stuff you can do with her.
I still think they're fine. Hmm. So, like, Ox is still pretty good in some matchups. Fillet is actually really, really good. I don't really understand why people aren't playing Fillet more. I think for me, she's the most interesting captain they got.
Yeah, and absolutely.
She definitely got play. So I don't know. If I would play Butchers, I would play Fillet a lot, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, does that come from, like, I know she's, you know, there's a little bit of condition stuff there. There's a little bit of, like, when I look at them, and I come from an alchemist kind of background, I look at the condition side of the game, and I just look at her and go, scory, killy, captain, I can do a bit of, you know, condition damage. There's a bit of fun there. Yeah, I'll look at her and go, that's way less linear than, you know, your vet boar and your ox.
Yep, I agree.
Mm. Nice. So you you went up against two Masons, you did a mirror, and two Brewers.
Yeah.
What was the other matchup? Union, far out. So was that a planned thing? Like Alchemists, I know when I look at those matchups, I don't have an issue with any of those if I'm playing Alchemists. Was that planned by Metz? Because obviously you're out having a smoke.
He was asking me beforehand if I could play the Brewer matchup. And I mean, I was honest, I never played the Brewer matchup before. So I was like, yeah, okay. I'm going to try a tempo game, like at least two goals. And yeah, I think it's the right call in this situation.
How did the Brewer matchup actually roll out? Did they try to like cage ball you and you just out tempoed them?
Yeah, so basically I was kicking, he was receiving, putting the ball on Friday, hugging his old goal post and placing like Corker and all the other models around Friday.
Okay.
And he was just waiting there.
That doesn't seem great, but not when I just feel like Alchemists have all the tools to deal with it.
That was actually pretty lucky. I think it's not the worst thing you can do, but if I just casually hit like both of my great balls of fire and get the ball and score, I'm in a pretty good situation from there on. It's like it came down to, I guess, I will get one of those goals, but it's still only like. I think I'm advantaged hitting the great balls of fires against fire against Friday, bonus timing it, but I cannot expect to hit both of them in this game. And if I miss one of them, I'm down a player and down on tempo as well. So I think I was actually really lucky in this game once again, just hitting both of them, because these were like easy two goals, and yeah, if you need to goal kick the ball, there's always like the risk that it scatters so badly for you that you end up out of position with at least one player that could get picked up by a veteran catalyst or something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my biggest concerns in the game is, well, not with the game, but when you do that goal kick, it can actually be a negative where they've scored and you do a goal kick and you try to mitigate all the bad rolls. But even then, it might end up in a situation where you have to burn an activation to secure the ball, which actually just gives the tempo back to the other player.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah. I agree, but it might be a good thing as well. So it's a bit weird to describe, but if you would be able to place the ball on a certain player or just kick it like precisely, I think we would end up having way more standoffs. Like,
yeah, no, that's fair.
No,
yeah.
So it's a good thing as well. So because it forces you to do something at a certain point, and yeah, I think it's not only a bad thing.
No, I would maybe put it in the category, it's a challenging thing. Like, it, you know, requires a bit of thought. I think you actually should put a bit of... One of the things we've kind of learnt locally is making sure that, you know, you have a look at what is the worst role. So you put the ball down and you actually look at what 6 to the 6 and 6 to the 1 looks like. And can you deal with that? And then you put the ball maybe in a different location. I think that's important because it is a random role. And like you said, it actually instigates some kind of interaction. And that's the one thing that Steam Forward should have been looking, you know, they want to make sure that happens to avoid the cage ball situation. Like, if, I think if you plonk it on a model, that's, yeah, that is terrible because you just put it back on the model that cages the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I agree. So this little bit of randomness is maybe it's frustrating from time to time because you get punished for even if you're doing it right and even if you're not caging, you get punished for this randomness at a certain point. So you might end up having like the worst possible scatter that denies your goal or something like this.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it forces you to react to your opponent as well, and it's making the game a bit more interactive, I guess. Even if it's punishing from time to time.
Yeah, no, I think it's important.
Except the fact that there isn't, like, for me, not a really better obvious solution for this problem. But
yeah. Well, I mean, it's an interesting, like, point or, you know, discussion about kind of game health. You've been playing since, obviously, you're, you know, the inaugural world champ. Where do you think the health of the game is at the moment? Do you think it's in a good spot?
I would say it's in a good spot. I think most of the stuff, like, at least guild-wise, I think all the guilds are viable at this point. Some are still better than others. That's not the biggest problem in this situation, because the gap between the best and the worst is, I think, as small as it wasn't better at any point in this game.
No, so exactly.
I think it's in a pretty good state right now. And I really enjoy playing it right now. I think the biggest thing about Guild Ball right now might be people complaining about standoffs. But, yeah.
The complaints about it or the actual standoffs? Like, you're more worried about the people bitch and moan about it or the...
Yeah, I think they're actually complaining about the standoffish game or play styles of some guilds, but yeah, I think it's a bit of a problem of the guys playing as well. But it's not a problem, but they were agreeing to stand off. And you can break a standoff. That's not a thing with like every single guild, but you have to know how to do it, I guess. And this might end up being a thing on mid tables where people get frustrated from like five turns of standoff and not enjoying the game at a certain point. But there are a lot of ways to play around the standoff, and I think the meta right now is going more football heavy than it was before. Will end up in less standoffish games as well. So I think it's even getting better right now.
Yeah.
Than like weeks before.
Yeah, I agree. I think the game's in a good spot. I mean, the main criticism is tempo increases, the speed of the game, therefore critical kind of dice roll. There's less dice rolls, therefore critical ones become more impactful on the game. But I have no problem with this because I basically, that's how I play, like full tempo, exactly how you described. You put the pressure on the opponent, you make them make bad choices, and you capitalize on it.
Yeah, but that's a play style you chose. That's the thing. You could go like more methodical as well, like Mats is doing, and it's working as well. And you could do a more really, really crazy standoffish trade style, like some of the UK guys are playing it right now. And it's working as well. So you have like a couple of different approaches to the game, and all of them are viable at this point. And I think that's a good sign for the health of the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love it. So Timmy,
yeah, me too.
Timmy, were there any elevators involved in W2C?
Unfortunately not. But we had like a couple of like weird stuff happening as well.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't dislocate a shoulder or break an arm or anything like that. I mean, I've been chatting to Martin, and he made sure that you didn't die.
This year I was fine, but other guys had their moment to shine or their moment of glory as well. So that's fine. And we had quite a good laugh with Steve Easton and Jonathan Mitchell. These guys were like, whew.
Oh, I heard Beeson really, he got on the gas.
Party Easton is best Easton.
Oh, Party Easton is best Easton. Nice. I like this. Yeah. Wait a second. Where's next WTC?
Might be in Slovenia.
Slovenia. All I heard from Martin was that it's a party town, and that's all he said.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. And it's warm over there as well. At least warmer than in Poland, where I was freezing like shit because, drunken ramblings. And we went like straight in the city center only with a t-shirt on and stuff like this. If this happens in Slovenia, it wouldn't be as worse, I guess.
Yeah.
As bad, sorry.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no such thing as bad weather, Tim. It's just inappropriate clothing, mate.
I agree.
But yeah, Slovenia sounds amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you catch up with the New Zealanders at WTC?
No, I don't think so. Unfortunately not.
Christ. What the fuck were they doing?
I don't know, but there were a lot of people hanging around. So the War Machine guys were there as well, and there are too many people to talk to everyone, I guess. That's a pity of only having two days of tournament.
Yeah. I mean, well, here next year, basically, we're splitting from Warmer Hordes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting, but... you know, I think it's kind of also good that we do our own thing. So
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But to be fair, the War Machine guys are pretty cool as well. There are a couple of cool guys over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good and a bad thing as well. So I don't really know how to feel about this.
I mean, only you can know how to feel about something, Tim. I can't control that, possibly with a drug, but then once again, you're possibly the best person to advise me on what drug to administer you.
Almost likely.
So you got any plans for, like, the end of the year and 2020? You, like, got any major tournaments lined up to rock up to, smoke during the pairing process and then just win?
Not yet. It's quite like not going on much in Europe right now, at least not that I'm aware of. So all the big tournaments are going to start like in a couple of months, and nothing planned yet, but I'm sure we will take at least some trips to the UK, hopefully the WTC as well.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we have to like apply for a spot on the German team.
We need to dial this back a little bit. So the Germans have won the last three, and you and Metz have been the two consistent players on that. How does the German, like, application process work? Because just to give you some information, if we won, like, if the Australians won a world championship, I'm pretty sure the way our society or like our sporting ideal works is that we would send the same three players back to try to defend the title. How does the German one work?
Yeah, it's actually you're applying for a spot in the team, and there are like three guys that the community voted beforehand that pick the people for the teams. And like from a player's strength kind of side, I'm pretty okay getting into one of the teams, but they have a strike rule as well, and you get if you're doing something actually really stupid, and if you have like three strikes or two strikes, I don't know, then you're out for the application.
Timmy, how the fuck have you not got three strikes, mate?
And I had a couple of strikes beforehand, so like SteamCon. Passing out on the table, jumping out, or me dislocating my own arm at the WTC was a strike as well.
What defines a strike, really? I mean,
if you piss off people,
I don't think anyone is upset. Well, possibly falling asleep on the table. I think that's fair. I think you definitely deserve a strike for that. Dislocating your own shoulder is like your own fucking bad luck, man.
No, it was
that should really be in your favor, I think, Tim.
How are you doing?
Timmy! Wait. We've got to do an introduction for this man. He's an enigma, a recluse of Oz. Some believe where he lives is Dagobah. David Scotland has just joined us on the line after possibly a fantastic dinner or something that took him away from this conversation. David, how are you?
G'day, mate. Yeah, I had to get my X-Wing out of the swamp. My force powers are still, they're developing. I'm not great. Anyway, Yoda pulled it out for me, and here I am.
This is brilliant. Sorry, continue.
I'm a little outraged on Tim's behalf that dislocating his own arm at a WTC should go against him. Mate, that's not easy. That's really difficult. Like, do they not respect the level of skill and dedication?
It's not as difficult as you might think, because it happened when me and the Bavarian guy tried to tackle each other, and yeah, it was a pretty hard tackle, I guess. I mean, I passed out before I hit the floor, and I woke up having a dislocated arm. I think it's worse a fucking strike, I guess.
Timmy, I understand that there's a bit of diplomacy involved here, mate. So I'm willing just to move on. I'm sorry, WTC committee, German WTC committee. You're obviously right. Tim's total reprobate. What are you doing?
No, but it's a fair call, man. I think you should be better than this. And I try to be better than this. But it's not working all the time. That's the problem.
Tim, I think we're at an age of great reckoning where humans have suddenly realized that maybe they aren't in control of the natural order. And to those humans who look to try and contain nature in its raw and untamable form, I would ask them, can you chain the wind? Can you chain the wind, Tim?
I obviously can't. So.
It's because you are the wind, my friend. Sorry, I've taken us off track.
This is completely on track. This is fantastic. Yeah. I mean, we're just basically working out how the German selection process works, and I think we've nailed it. I think we're not sure how Timmy manages to stay in the German team, other than sheer luck. And yeah, and then they pair him with Metz and then someone else. I think that's basically how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, does Metz? He's obviously part of the computing system that actually like operates the whole thing. Does he make the selection himself, or how's it work?
No. He's I think he might be the brain of the whole operation, but he's not in charge.
But how do you know? I mean, how do you really know?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, you know, I don't know. He's possibly outthought you all, and like you're potentially just a pawn in his like grandest game.
I most likely. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I guess my question to you is, does he buy you drinks like the night before a game? I don't know. Like, does this happen?
Nah, because we actually, most of the times we meet up like at the tournament morning.
You're right. He rocks up literally as the clock's rolling.
Yeah. Dramatic entrance, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Phantom of the Opera. But...
So here's my question, right? You've played three WTCs now. German team has played and won three WTC tournaments. You went 6-0. Is that the second year in a row you went 6-0?
Yeah, I'm at 16-0 so far at WTCs.
Oh, man, that's fucking incredible. Like, that's a hell of a run out.
Yeah, better be lucky than good, I guess.
Well, that's 16-0.
My words to live by.
Yeah. Timmy, the legend grows, man.
And the German team should be at 43-5 so far in three WTCs.
I mean,
damn, that's a...
Yeah. To be fair, you didn't play against Dave and I because we scrubbed out round one, so that potentially could have been a problem for you.
I dodged that bullet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if by bullet you mean like the shot flung by a monkey.
Yeah. Oh. It was like a Nerf fucking bullet, mate.
Yeah. So what's in the water, man? Like, we've been talking to you for... This is the third WTC chat we've had.
Yeah.
And it just keeps happening. Like, so dominant. I mean, I listened to, like, Botsy's podcast before, you know, before they shipped off to WTC. And they were feeling strong. Excuse me. What's the difference? Like, is it just German efficiency? Are you still just getting mad reps? You know, what do you put this down to? Like, are you reading the meta better than anybody else? Like, what?
I don't know, to be fair. Actually, I don't know. I think we had a solid idea what to do, because we had point A, we had Mets, and we totally expected Mets to win every single game. Then we had Mario on Fisherman, and we had a plan to put him basically on tables that are really favorable for Corsair, so that he can play out like even worse matchups and be in a strong position. And then I guess people weren't like actually really prepared for Alchemists as well. So might be luck or the right call in the right situation. I don't know.
I think you're completely modest. So obviously Dave came in partway in. Dave, basically the strategy in the pairing process was Timmy goes for a smoke, Metz makes the call, and they just play the games. That's essentially how it happened.
I mean, how much credit do you put in the idea that, you know, the match-up process is significant? Or are you still of the view that, like, you just rock up and you play whatever game's in front of you? Do you think, I mean, I know WTC gives you a bit more leeway to bank against your bad matchups and, you know, play to your good ones. But what I've noticed about you guys is that you just don't seem to care that much. Just play whatever's there.
Yeah, we have, like, personal favorites, I guess. So there are, like, some matchups I don't feel really good into. even if they should be like favorable for me, but it doesn't feel right. And that would be a matchup. I would say it might be better if you're playing this, but in the end, you can play it out, man. I think it's pretty. Yeah, we have this already, but I think it's pretty balanced, and the health of the game is in a pretty good state right now. So they're like not like auto wins or auto losses at this point. There are some harder matchups and some easier matchups for you, but it still works. It still works.
So from looking at your record on the day, across the tournament. The only trouble you look like you had was 12-10 into Steve Margetson, and then 14-7 into Adam Wynart. Adam's a Polish awesome player. Did you feel like any of those games were like, kind of windmill slams, and those two that looked a bit closer? That game against Steve looked like a hard one.
Steve fucked up. Let's face it.
He should have won this. I don't know. I fucked it up so badly at the start and totally gave my tempo advantage away. And he capitalized pretty good on this. And in the end, it was a bad scatter from his side. I think it was the right call. I was watching the battle report, the stream. Sorry. And I still think it was the right call to pump the ball. Like, just away, because Midas should have reached Mash in his last or in his in next activation. Even if he's going to drop the ball, I still had my legendary left and could have fulminated and dodged from him to get into goal range. I think it was the right call, but he was unlucky. You should have won this. It was a really, really close game, and you played it very well, and I fucked it up like terribly at certain points. And that was pretty undeserved. So I think Steve should have won this. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, it was a great game to watch. Like, it was one of those nail biters.
It was really. I was actually pretty done after this game. I was so exhausted. I had to sit down for about 5 minutes while playing and just look on the board state, figuring out how could I even win this from this point. And that was really rough, really, really rough. But imagine you're kicking with Midas against Corker, and you're using Lure of Gold 2 times on Veteran Catalyst, pushing him forward. And he still got Hooper left. And I was thinking, Hooper doesn't kill him in a single activation with only one beer token. If he cannot use his heroic in the first attack, because he basically has to use knockdown to kill me on the first attack. Yeah, but I forgot about fucking Whiskey Chaser. He went into me and killed my Veteran Catalyst turn one before he activated. That was rough.
That's a tough break. Yeah. There's something interesting in what you're saying there, and that, you have to stop and think. Like, I think that's the thing I noticed at WTC last year, was that these were all games that were generally, really difficult. And the difference between winning and losing was actually looking, at the board state, understanding your outs and playing to the odds. I think you talk to a lot of dudes who are still new at the game, still like coming to grips with the pressure of it. I think WTC is a tournament that stands above all others, apart from maybe national tournaments or worlds, just in terms of dealing with pressure, being able to make decisions on clock, working yep. through that difficult game state. And it was a masterclass in that from both of you.
The commentators were like stating that we have still enough time left, and time wasn't the issue, I guess. The issue was, I knew I had like only a a couple of activations left before I lose the game. So I was feeling really stressed because of this, not because of actually clock time. But I knew he's going to just kill some of my players, and I couldn't do something about this anymore. It will happen. It's just a matter of times or activations. So I was actually really stressed at this point.
Yeah. I find there's some of the best games are the ones that are decided within one activation or one or two activations. And that's where you know you've had a kind of good game where you both are threatening the win, and it basically comes now to those last couple of activations.
Yeah, I agree. It was a really good game, and he would have deserved the win. Absolutely. He played really well, and took his chances as well. So he pushed off my 6 influence stacked Midas with Quoth. Like, he pushed him off the table, and I was like, okay, what the fuck is happening here? That was heartbreaking and amazing as well, because fuck me, a fucking mascot pushed my captain off. That's great. Really, really well done. And he actually played for it as well, so that was really well executed as well.
What was the distance? How many fucking reps did he have to get on you?
So the old situation, how it happens, was he moved into base contact with Midas the turn before, after I was scoring a goal and basically hugging his goalpost. And I couldn't use my unpredictable movement because he had still Spigot left to go. And he wasn't able to reach him as well. So I had to accept that Quoth is moving base to base to me. And then I got the initiative on the next round, had to do something to, I don't know, score a goal or secure. No. I used Kami to kill the ball after he kicked it off, after Midas scored the goal, to get the ball back. And then he activated Quoth, back of Quoth himself, pushed me out of cover, and then another momentous push and a momentous double push to get me off table or something like this. So like 4 or 5 pushes. It's basically a coin flip or something like this at certain points. If you bonus time it, it might be better, might be worse. I don't know. But it hurt so badly because it was just another point of the game where I lost so much tempo. And yeah, I think at this point I thought I'm going to lose. But yeah, well played. Really well done. Unlucky in the end.
So Timmy, do you have any advice to newer players or dudes who are trying to level up about how to keep calm and assess your options in a situation like that? Because a lot of people would just, would take that result and mentally concede. So, what's the difference between, somebody who's on the up and a WTC 3-time champion in terms of the mental fortitude required to sort of, keep on going and not concede the game then and there? Like, what goes through your head when something like that happens? How do you pull out the win, Timmy?
That's pretty easy. Mario already lost this game, and Mets won. So I knew I couldn't lose this game. I had to go on. That's it. Otherwise, we had lost the round. So there wasn't, like, I don't have the perfect formula to do something in these situations. I think it's pretty important that you still remember that we are playing a game together, not against each other. And it should be fun. And if it's not fun for you, you most likely shouldn't play it.
That's it. That's fucking beautiful. Like, do you hold hands with your opponent after the game? Because I just feel some serious love there, mate, because that is essentially what any game is about, is just enjoying the moment, right?
I don't absolutely don't have a problem with the losing, as long as it was a good game and I had a great time with my opponent. I don't care if I lose or win. That's it. I'm most likely not going to concede the game or something like this. I want to win, but I don't have a problem with losing as well.
Mm.
So it's a part of playing a game. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Just go and do whatever it takes to have a good game. And that's it.
Absolutely fair. I think the answer to David's question is advice. Give zero fucks, have fun, play the game.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
It's a better
I'm just trying to get deep inside of Timmy's mind here. I want to understand the labyrinth that is Tim's mind.
You get fucking lost in there, dude.
Oh, man, you will just... It's like an oubliette. You know, like in the labyrinth?
Yeah.
She falls down into the oubliette and hands grab her?
Yeah.
Man, so many hands in Timmy's mind.
That's like a Timmy experience in a fucking elevator.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Tim time. Fucking three WTCs. That's mental.
Mm.
Like, you boys.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
I think we need to lay it down now. And, well, Tim can answer this question as well. But I'm going to put $10 on anyone that can guess right now who's going to win the next one. And you can't guess Germany. If Germany win, then I just give Timmy $10. Like, who's a chance? I guess the question is essentially, who do you fear the most in terms of not necessarily individual players, but who do you think has like a decent kind of setup where they can match three good players against you guys?
Oh, there are a couple of good teams. No doubt about this. So I think the UK guys got a lot of good players that are pretty scary. The Scottish guys, the Steamforged team is pretty good as well. The US guys, a lot of good teams over there. And yeah, I think they have a good day. All of them could win a WTC, like no problem at all.
Alex Bott's retired, mate. Like, I mean, you know, in keeping with our old format, have you got anything to say to Alex Bott?
Stop retiring, I guess.
Fair.
I mean, what is this all about? Studying?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, like, education's more important than nerd gaming with war dollies in other countries and getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem right.
Nah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Why not both?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's in our constitution that you actually have to do it. I'm not sure about the German, political situation, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's part of the culture.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about the game at the moment, Tim? Do you think it's in a good state?
Yeah, I do. We already chatted a bit about this. I think it's in a pretty good spot right now. I don't think that there's something so far off being unplayable or so super good being absolutely broken. There are a couple of better teams, I guess, and a couple of like a bit weaker teams. But the gap between both of them is smaller than ever before, at least from my point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I guess I'm asking because I played a guy the other night and he basically said this will be my last tournament for Guildball. He's going to play Emirates Nats. And after that, he's done because the player base just keeps shrinking. And I don't know how it is for you guys. We've maintained a fairly sort of consistent meta in Australia. Last Nats was about 40 people. I'm noticing that like there's a bit of a theme here where people are just like, well, you know, can't grow the player base, can't get the competition that we want outside of, you know, national tournaments or WTC. Probably don't want to play anymore. So don't know. What's your thought about that?
I think it might be more a problem with like the availability of the miniatures and not like actually a gameplay problem. But I don't know. I think it's in a pretty good state right now.
I feel Europe probably gets the best of it. Like, you guys are very close to each other. You can sort of travel with relative ease to international tournaments. So maybe it's not quite as pronounced over there, but some of the more scattered matters seem to be struggling.
Yeah, I think, yep. I mean, what's the quote we heard? Can't remember who it was by, but it's the best game that no one plays, and that essentially comes back to availability of models. Like we had a local pickup, a mate of a local pickup a team, and he picked up Falconers, which isn't actually the easiest kind of guild to kind of step into, but it was based on obviously looking nice, but also availability. And I think that's the important key here for Steamforge, is to make sure it's available.
But I think they're on a good track. Is this a thing? But,
yeah.
Okay. The roadmap for them releasing like five plastic teams in the next 4 months or something like this seems about right. So maybe starting 2020. There will be stuff available once more. And I'm actually pretty happy with the quality of the miniatures right now. So there were up and downs. But right now the new rookies were like superb quality.
Really good. Fantastic. They definitely like moved to a better resin, company. Absolutely. Or whoever's doing them. They're on point now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
leads into, I just sort of wanted to ask another question about WTC next year. Like, given that there's the split with War Machine and Hordes now, Guild Ball WTC will be standing on its own. I'm just wondering, like, what the impact's going to be. Because having even though we didn't engage much with the War Machine and Hordes guys, having that cohort there sort of co-located is friggin' amazing in terms of the just the vibe of the tournament. I don't know.
Does it affect buying power at that point? Like, it's just, the more dudes, we can get cheaper rates in rooms and that sort of thing, or I don't know.
Me neither.
Feel like it's incumbent on the Germans to kind of pick it up and run with it, keep winning. Notorious at being extremely efficient, you could probably do a good job.
I think the Germans need to basically set a base level of one dislocated joint per WTC. I think, they were definitely down this year. Timmy, you've got to step it back up a notch, and maybe we create a scenario where you don't get a strike for, like, losing a limb or at least, dislocating a knuckle or elbow or something.
Yep. We might think this through. Why not? The only thing is that we should make sure that I don't get a strike for it. Because I might get a strike that's not on purpose. So,
Were any of them on purpose?
Another WTC. I'm sorry?
Were any of them on purpose?
No, not really, but just a normal thinking person might recognize that hitting someone that's like about 20 kilograms more than you, absolutely drunk, without any protection, isn't a good idea. But then alcohol happens.
All I'm hearing is you deferring the blame, mate. That's all I'm hearing. But it's also part of your brand. So I think, from a licensing point of view and a branding point of view, I think you're upholding that. And I think that's important. You know, because they basically say about branding that, you know, it's the promise you make and it's the promise that you keep.
I'm keeping my promises.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. But on the flip side, to any other country that wants to make sure that Germany doesn't have a chance, we just need to, like, basically engineer a way of Timmy getting his third strike and the German efficient system will not allow him to play W2C. I would be super sad if that actually happens.
Yeah, play the meta game.
I don't know, man. Still bets left, to be fair. So you should find a way to remove Mets from this team, and we're done. It's the only thinking person over there.
Okay. All right. So what's my question? Yeah, it's gone straight out of my head.
That's fine.
I'll come back to it.
That's fine. That's like Timmy and any rational thought at any tournament. Same thing applies.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I did think was, like, if you're going to talk about tournament injuries, you need a unit of measurement for pain, and I think the unit should be a Timmy. So on a scale of 1 to 10 Timmys, how many Timmys worth of pain are you in?
Hey, wait a second. Didn't the Bavarian guy that you got tackled by, didn't he lose teeth the next day, or was that someone else?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely, fuck. Yeah.
So as an advertising thing for people to come to WTCs, I think there needs to be some kind of, you know, phrase about come to WTC, lose a limb, meet Timmy, potentially just get, you know, ruffle stomped by him by accident while he's drunk. It'll be fun.
This seems about right.
Measure it in and measure it in units of Timmy. If you want to use it in a sentence, Timmy beat me so hard that game, it was like 10 Timmy's worth of pain. You know, pass the morphine. I mean, you should almost be obliged to drop your trousers at the end of a game and, you know, receive a shot of something in your bum. It's like, that'll take the pain away from you.
10 Timmy's worth of pain. I love it.
Yeah, doctor, where are your hands? No hands. And how are you? Anyway, how are you injecting me? Surprise.
Dave, have you seen a specialist lately? Is that what happened?
I can't confirm or deny that.
Fair. Nice. Well, boys, this has been an amazing chat. David, I'm glad, as the hermit that you are, you've come out and graced us with your awesomeness. And Timmy, you're always the German that we love to chat to. Well, one of multiple Germans we love to chat to. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have fun also. I mean, like, I have a motto, which is tits out for turn. So anytime he's on, you know, I always make an effort.
It's now called Roll Out a German and a David Scotland. I think that's what will happen in the Wank Dungeon now. A bit like, oh, they just fucking roll out that Scotland anytime they need some content.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but, Tim excites me. I can say that with absolute certainty.
He is arousing. So WTC 2020 Slovenia, we're all in. We're going to go for Australian team, a Kiwi team, and a merge team. I'm calling it now.
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah. And before we sign off, there's a quick shout out to all the Kiwis that were claiming that they could, like, beat where the Aussies made it last year. You fucking didn't. So harden up and go again next year.
Yeah, that's friendly. Bit of cross-channel rivalry there.
We love the Kiwis. They're good.
Yeah, they go all right. That Will's pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
He's okay. He's okay out here.
Yeah. Tim, mate, congratulations. You're a bloody monster.
Thank you.
Yeah, and to the rest of the team as well. Like, Mets, we're not sure where Mets came from. Just...
little confused.
I don't know. It's still not feeling right.
What? Because you feel like it's a bit of a smash and grab, like you went in there and.
Because I have the certain feeling that I'm always lucky if it matters, and yeah.
Is that not a universal thing?
I should have lost the game against Steve, for example. No doubt about this. But yeah.
But there's a point at which I'm not hugely spiritual, but enough that I feel like if you're a good person, you treat things well. Like sometimes, you know, things shine on you at the right opportune moments. You know, so those seal pups that you fucking rescued. Like I saw that on Instagram, and that pays forward like tenfold, and that's why your dice are fantastic.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
To one of us, obviously.
Man, seal pups. This is all. I didn't know about this.
Mm.
Amazing, Tim. Congratulations on your conservation efforts.
Yeah. Oh God.
It's fantastic.
I agree, man. Where do you go from here?
I don't know. I don't know at what point, like, we just cut the podcast and I finish recording. So, you know, whatever.
Thanks again, boys. It was nice. It was lovely to chat.
It was awesome.
Still, I don't have a fucking clue how we're doing this. I don't know. There was so many stuff happening around there that shouldn't have happened, like... Scotland, what was wrong with Scotland 1? And they're so good and ending up like 3-3 or something like this.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right. Mm. Not at all.
Yeah, it's funny though. Like tournaments are funny. Like when you're playing against that caliber of player, like a game can go wrong pretty easily. You know, it does come down to dice sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
You know. And suddenly your tournament record doesn't look that great, but doesn't in any way reflect the quality of the game that you played or, you know, how good you are. Sometimes you just lose. I mean, maybe not you, Tim. I don't know.
No, I don't.
Us lesser mortals lose sometimes. We just lose.
Yeah, sometimes you just lose, but not Tim.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I reckon something in the water, like... Is it your Kegels? Like, do you have one of those Kegel eggs and you just, like, really tight Kegels and, you know, it makes for a good gill ball? I don't know. I've got more questions than answers.
Me too, from this point.
I wish you could help.
Yeah. I think Timmy's coming over to Australia in 2021. I'm pretty sure that's what he said earlier. Can't remember the conversation, but I think he said that.
I would love to fly over, but it's so fucking expensive for me and so much time.
Yeah, but probably the time. Like, I empathize with the time, absolutely, because, like, well, especially in your job role, like, there's only a certain amount of time you can actually be away. So 20 fucking 7 hours of travel to then spend a week is hard work.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be worth it. So it should be at least like 3 weeks or something like this.
Fuck, did you just say that we're not worth it? That's how it sounded.
I'm sorry. I'll rephrase this. I don't want it only to be a week. It should be at least three.
Yes.
So I can really get everything out of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
That possibly crossed a line.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to sign off at that point with a warm feeling in my heart and maybe somewhere else.
Great work. All right. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Double Dodge. Once a year, they have Kiwis on that know what they're doing, which is nice.
Well, welcome back. That had everything: WTC, alcohol, Slovenia, elevators, dislocated joints, and a little bit of Tasty David in there too. Well, yeah, another episode done. I did see someone on the forums complaining that there wasn't any episodes being released by anyone recently. Well, fuck you. There it is. In true fashion, we're going to thank FreeCityGames.com. Jesse is a legend. He fuels the community in Australia in terms of our WTC, in terms of our Guild Ball needs. So thanks, Jesse. Jump on there. Jesse Heiss will help you out. And ask him for a discount. He'll then just charge me more money. So that's fine. Also, we have our Patreon account, patreon.com/DoubleDodge. Jump on there. We have three tiers. It really just helps us pay for this kind of thing. Also, of late, what I've been doing is spending that money on prize support for different competitions. So we just kind of think it's good to put it back into the community and help out locals and some of the smaller comps. Other than that, hope you enjoyed the episode. It was great to have Dave back on, and Timmy, as always. Love both those guys. Shout out to all my other international friends. I've been chatting to quite a few of you guys on and off, from James Long to Martin Koch. But yeah, love the community. Keep on playing Guild Ball, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bear.
Ah, you dickheads.